We will finish out Exodus chapter 18 tonight, and I know we don't often carry on the morning message into the evening, but there's too much to do in one sermon, and as I prayed about it and studied for the message for today and this morning in particular, started the studying on the message for this morning, I realized that it needed to be broken into two, and so a little bit more focus on these things. So Exodus chapter 18, and tonight will be verses 13 to 27. And Jethro, as we said this morning, Moses' father-in-law, was impressed with what God had done for Israel. He was thankful, he was happy, he rejoiced, and praised God for the things that God had done for Israel. He felt it safe, evidently, for his daughter to stay with Israel, with Moses, and realizing that God was watching over for Israel. But we see in the rest of the chapter that Jethro was concerned. He was concerned about the busyness of Moses' life, perhaps especially so given that he would now have to add family time into his day because his family was back there with him, and I'm sure Jethro had that concern in his mind. There's no doubt that Moses was a very busy man. He was given the God-given task to be the leader of perhaps a million people. That's a busy life, isn't it? To lead a million people from bondage in Egypt out. But he didn't just say, okay, now we're out of Egypt, now just figure out how to get to Canaan yourself. God gave him the task of leading them all the way, as it turned out, to the border of the Promised Land, and then Joshua took over to lead the rest of the way. No easy task, keeping such a group of people content. Can you imagine keeping a million people content? Sometimes we say it's hard enough to keep a family's worth of people content, or maybe a group of people content. Even think of heat and cold this time of the year. We've got air conditioning on. Someone say, we've got air conditioning on. I like the heat. And as that struggles, it's hard to keep even a few people content sometimes. Different aspects of life, not just temperature, of course, but different things. So can you imagine trying to keep that many people content? Pretty much an impossibility, except that Moses had the Lord on his side. And so added to the busyness of doing what God had called him to do, there was additional responsibilities that seemed to be added into Moses' repertoire of life, and that was to be the judge of the people whom he had led out of Egypt. So what Jethro teaches Moses in this chapter was an invaluable lesson, because without it, Moses would have burned out, and the Israelites would have been so discouraged, as Jethro tells Moses in the chapter, in the text, as we'll read it tonight. Really, what Jethro says is, Moses, you need to delegate. You need people to come alongside you, and you need people to do some of the work so that it doesn't all fall on your shoulders. And delegation is really just another word, isn't it, for spreading the work around. To delegate is not always easy. I'm sure Moses felt he was responsible. So to give that to somebody else wouldn't necessarily have been an easy thing, but it was necessary. And it was something that he understood then to do. And it's not only something that was important for Moses, but it's important in life, it's important in the church, it's important that we learn to be able to delegate. And so as we think about it as it relates to the Christian life and to the church, I entitled the message, Are You Ready to Help Out? Because Moses needed people who were ready to help out. Verse 13 of Exodus 18 says, And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. So this is the day after. Jethro had been visiting with Moses in the tent, and they'd reconnected. They'd had that good time of fellowship, and this is the next day. Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning unto even. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them and know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee, thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Let's pray together. Lord, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the practicality of it, and we thank you for the wisdom that it gives us in our life. And again, we come to look at something that may be familiar to us, but whether it is or not, I pray that it would be that which you'd use to help us in our lives to be ready to take on that which you have for us to do. And so, Lord, use this, your word to speak to our hearts tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think about the situation that was taking place here. First of all, Jethro sat and watched a typical day in the life of Moses, and he noted some things that needed to be addressed, and he noted Moses' busyness. Moses was a busy guy, as we've already said. He sat and observed the situation. He watched as people lined up to see Moses from morning until night. You can imagine the scene, can't you? I mean, all those people camping around about in the wilderness. Moses is sat there, perhaps in the middle of the situation. He sat there and people are lining up to come and see him. Perhaps some, as they lined up, were having arguments with somebody else that was lined up with them, because they had brought an argument and they needed Moses to resolve that situation. And whether it would be a husband and wife, whether it be siblings, whether it be neighbors, tent neighbors, whatever, there were situations, and you can imagine that there were times when there was a lot of commotion going on, even in the lineup to see Moses as they waited to see him. You can imagine perhaps him saying, oh boy, I hope they get discouraged and go home before they get to me, or they get things figured out, or whatever else. But those people would have been lined up, and perhaps some would be arguing, well, you just wait, when we get to Moses, he'll see things my way. And the other would say, no, you wait, he'll see things my way, and you'll know that I was right and you were wrong. Perhaps some were in tears as they were lined up, just upset about different circumstances that were going on, and thinking, Moses, you have to do something about this situation. And maybe coming to him as a last resort. But seeing what was taking place, and it was going on from first thing in the morning till late in the day, till the evening, Jethro says, Moses, what's going on? You know, there's more than one way to ask that question, isn't there? What's going on? We read it here, and we would say that he just asks the question, Moses, what is happening here? What are you doing? What is this thing that thou doest to the people? And he's asking a question. Moses, what are you doing? What are you thinking in this situation? How do you think you possibly can resolve all these problems by yourself? Moses went on to explain what was taking place. And by the way, there's no verse where God says to Moses, Moses, you take on all the problems of the children of Israel and you solve all their problems. There's no indication that God specifically gave him the role of judge. If you read God's call to Moses, it was to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. But this was a natural outworking of that. This was a situation that kind of evolved, if we could, and I know we don't like to use that word evolution, but this situation evolved into a situation that was taking place in the life of Israel. Remember, the people that came out of Egypt had been there their whole life. Israel had been in Egypt for over 400 years. They had no written Bible. They didn't have the Bible. Moses is the one who God used to record what we have before us, the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. So they didn't yet have a Bible to go by. They were God's chosen people, and they knew that it was expected of them that they would be different than other nations, but really they didn't have any specifics, many specifics to go by in their life. With that many people, there'd be a lot of issues to deal with, and living under the conditions that they were living under would only add to that. But think of how their conditions had changed. They had been slaves, but they had a home in Egypt. They had places where they lived. It was their space. It was their area. It was the place that they could call home, even after a hard day of slavery, which obviously wasn't nice. But they could go home, and that was their place, and that was where they would stay. That was where the family lived, and that was where they would assemble. But now they are living in tents, something they weren't familiar with doing. It wasn't what they would have ordinarily done. They're living in a new place. They're living with uncertainties in their life. Their regular jobs, if we could call it that, were no longer what they used to be. And the regular space, as we've said, was not no longer where it was. And it may have varied from one day to the next as they traveled and set up tents and set up camp for the next night. Now, I think most all of us can relate to the fact that sometimes when you were away or even on vacation and you get out of the ordinary regular routine, sometimes things get a little tense. We like vacation, we like to get a break from the routine, but something about routine sometimes that just keeps us going along. But these people they had no regular routine anymore, and there was a lot of things going on, a lot of changes that were going on in their life. And so Moses explained to Jethro that these people did not know the ways of God, and they needed to have things explained to them. They needed help dealing with the conflicts and difficulties of life, and who else would they come to but Moses? Because he was the one who God had placed in leadership over them. You know, it teaches us a very important truth, isn't it? Doesn't it? That God has the answers to life. Where would we be without God and direction of God in our life? Where is the world headed? Because they've pushed God out of direction in their life. This world, we look around and we say, that's the result of God being pushed out. But these people hadn't necessarily pushed God out. They just didn't have the guidebook, the Bible, like we have it to give them the answers. And so as God's representative to the people, Moses had the answers people needed. You know, he wasn't perfect and he didn't have every answer. God hadn't even inspired him to write what we have in front of us tonight yet. But he had a direct communication with God, and he had some wisdom that God had given him to help the people resolve their problems on a daily basis. So Moses was there to help people understand in the way that he could. That was the situation. But there was a snag, or what we might say is a problem. And Jethro noticed two problems that were taking place. He said, Moses, you're going to wear yourself out, and these people are going to give up. There's two problems that are going to take place, Moses, if you keep on trying to do what you were doing. Remember, it wasn't the only thing Moses was responsible for. Dealing with the individual experiences and difficulties that those people were doing every day, that was something entirely separate from the fact that he was needing to be ready to lead them and be ready to, when God said, okay, it's time to move forward, everyone get ready, let's go. And so these problems that people were dealing with were a side note to his main leadership, we might say. He wouldn't be able to handle all the problems of the nation. They would weigh him down. They would wear him out, is what Jethro said to him. He says, "Thou art not able." He says, why is it thou sittest alone? Thou sittest thyself alone. All the people stand before thee. And he explains it to Moses' father and says, the thing that thou doest is not good. Well, it's not good to help people? Oh, no, of course it was good to help people. But he said, you're going to wear yourself away and this people are going to be worn away because what you're trying to do is too much for you. You can't take all the problems of all the congregation of Israel upon yourself. It will weigh you down. And the people, they're not all going to wait until they get the answer from you. It's taking too long, and they're lined up from morning to night. Perhaps some of them have been lined up for more than a day waiting. So maybe they would take matters into their own hands, or maybe they would just get discouraged and just say, well, just forget it. We'll just have to do something different. Have you ever been waiting, maybe at the hospital or maybe at an urgent care clinic, and you know you really should see the doctor, but sometimes you say, well, it's just going to be too long. I've heard people say it. I couldn't wait, so I just went home. Well, maybe not the wisest thing to do if you need medical attention. It's probably better to wait. But people just say, even though I need to see the doctor, I'm just tired of waiting. I'm sure people were saying, even though I really want Moses' advice, I can't wait. I just can't wait that long. And we do the same thing often in our life. We say, I just can't wait. You know, no matter who you are or who I am, who we are, you can't take everyone's problem onto yourself. You can't fix everyone else's problems. The only one who can do that is God. The rest of us, we get weighed down. We get stressed and we get tired. We get weary and we get worn out as Jethro warned Moses that he would do. One person cannot be what every person needs. That person may have a heart to do it, Moses did, but they can't do it. They can't do it all alone. It would seem like Moses was willing to die trying, but Jethro said that's not the solution to the problem. But he did have a solution. And in verses 19 to 27, we read what he recommended. He said, I give thee counsel. And I like what he says in verse 23. He says, if thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so. You know, Jethro said, if this is what God wants you to do, Moses, then this is going to work. This is going to be the right thing. But Jethro had some insight into resolving the snag that was before Moses to resolve that situation. First of all, he said in verse 19, you need to take the problems to God. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. What was he saying? He's saying, Moses, you need to take the people's problems to the Lord. They're too much for you. You need to take them to the Lord. We sing the song, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. In a sense, Jethro was saying, take other people's burdens to the Lord too, Moses. Take them to God. It didn't replace the need that some people would have to be spoken to on an individual basis and to help them individually. But it was a great step in resolving their issues to talk to the Lord about it, to pray about it. You know, often we see in Jesus' ministry that he took the needs of the people individually and generally to the Lord. When people came, what did we find him doing? He prayed. And he was God the Son, and God in the flesh. No matter who we are, we can't fix everyone's problems, but God has the solution, God has the answer, and we can take them to him. We can get burdened down even with other people's problems, but God can't get burdened down. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. when we realize that God has a solution, we can take those troubles to Him. And so that was the first step. Take those problems to the Lord. The second thing he said was in verse 20, thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work they must do. Jethro said, you need to teach the people, not just individuals as circumstances come up, but you need to take time to teach the people the laws of God, the ways of God. Of course, that was God's plan, and that would be what would start to take place in the next chapter. God already had that in mind. God already knew that he was going to call Moses up to the mountain and give him all the laws to give to the people. But Jethro saw that need, and he saw that situation that Moses needed to take and learn, teach those principles at large to the people of Israel, so that sometimes they'd be able to solve the problems on their own with the information that they were given by what God had for them to live their lives by. If Moses would share his knowledge of God's will and God's plan and God's ways, then the people could apply those principles themselves. He was to teach the people how to work out their problems before the Lord. And isn't that an interesting statement that is made? It says at the end of verse 20, and the work that they must do. You know what I find? The more people come with problems, you know what they want? They want a quick fix. They want a quick fix to their problems. But the reality is that many problems are going to take working through. And in verse 20, when Jethro says, and the work that they must do, teach the people the work that they must do. They're going to have to work through these problems. They're going to have to understand that some things that they're going to have to apply God's word in their life, they're going to apply principles, and they're going to have to work through these situations. I've heard pastors say in the past that when people come to them and say, Pastor, what shall I do about this situation? That some pastors have been known to say, you come to church for a month, and you come to every service at the church for a month, and if your question's not answered, then come and see me and we'll get together and talk. That's not necessarily what God says to do, but I understand the thought behind it is what Jethro was telling Moses here. Moses, tell the people, teach them the principles of God, and then they can take those principles and apply them to their own life. And many times, I don't know about you, but when I'm seeking God about something, that I find that there's at some point a message, a verse of scripture, or a message that is preached that just it answers that question. And I may have tried to think, well, I just want the, you know, some individual counsel on this. And that's, I'm not saying it's not needed sometimes, but I'm saying often our questions are answered if we're just faithful to be in the house of God, listen to the preaching of the Word of God. God uses His Word to speak to our hearts. It's about teaching people God's principles and truth so they can apply them in their life. And really, that's what we looked at last couple Wednesday nights at Bible study, was that very thing. How do I decide what to do? We've got to learn the principles of the Word of God and know how to apply them in your life. But the next thing that Jethro said, and probably the biggest thing that we would take from this passage of Scripture, is to select others to help do the work that Moses was doing. Yes, Moses needed to pray, and praying may help resolve some of those situations just right off the top. Teaching the people the principles of God would help people be able to work through their own situations and would maybe resolve some of those things. But there would still be people who would need help one-on-one, as it were. And so Jethro said, rather than wear yourself out and be the only one there from dawn till dusk, you need to teach other people that can help people and let people go to them with some other things, to delegate to others to help you. Moses needed help to allow him to focus on the other aspects of leadership and ministry. By helping Moses, these men would help get God's work done for the whole entire tribes of Israel. Jethro recognized that these helpers could not just be anybody, though, could they? Do you see what Jethro says to Moses? He, in verse 21, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Four pretty powerful requirements that were recommended, qualifications of these men, able men. Able means strong or valiant, not necessarily physically, but men who were able to take on that shoulder, that responsibility. Able men, God-fearing men, those who fear God. It would do no use to have just anybody that didn't fear God take that position, take that role. Because Moses was a man who did fear God. And the answers those people were getting were God's answers. And so in order to keep that being the case, Jethro said you need to have God-fearing men. Men who keep their lives right because they want to please God. And then he says, honest men. Men of truth. Oh, how important it is to have men of truth. Not ones who could be bribed, in other words. Not ones who had any other thought in this situation other than the right thing needs to be done. Men of truth, trustworthy, faithful, and not covetous. In other words, content men. Ones that hated covetousness. You realize that some of the issues that they would be dealing with may involve property. If they were covetous, they could get jealous. Even as judges over that situation, they could get jealous. Well, how come he has so many flocks and herds? Or what have you? And so Jethro said it needs to be men who hate covetousness. They're not going to be tempted, like we said, by bribes and all those kind of things. No, these have to be men who are able, men who are God-fearing, men who are truthful, and men who hate covetousness. And they would not all be equal amount of responsibility. You notice that he said some would be over thousands, some over hundreds, some over fifties, and some over tens. But they were all there to be the ones that would step in and help with the work that needed to be done. Following this pattern would allow Moses to carry on what he was called to do. So he wasn't distracted from the job of leading Israel all the way to the promised land. By doing that, it would allow Israel to reach their potential. Because they wouldn't be tied up all day waiting just to talk to Moses, because other people would be there to help minister to their needs and to help them deal with their problems and their situations. See, this was important for Israel's future because of what it would do for Moses and for Israel. And though it relates to Israel, obviously, that's what Jethro was talking to Moses about Israel, I believe that we have the same scenarios today. We have the same situations in the church and in life. There's a need of people who are ready to step up and do their part. You realize that in church, if the pastor is doing everything, the church won't be able to get near as much done as if people are all, we're all involved and working together and have our part in the ministry that God has called us to be in. The church will be stunted and not grow if the pastor has got his fingers in everything. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We look at a few verses out of the text there in conclusion, really, of the message this evening. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 2. 2 Timothy 2, 2. You may be familiar with this verse when you see it. But Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Paul taught Timothy. So now there was Paul and Timothy, both with an understanding of God's word and understanding of what needed to be done. But Timothy, it's not supposed to stop there. It can't stop there. He said, Timothy, you need to commit it also to more men, more people, faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Again, there's qualifications there. Faithful men, just like we read about what Jethro said to Moses. Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now turn with me to Titus. So 1st and 2nd Timothy, then the next book is Titus chapter 2. It's not only men. Sometimes people say, oh, it's just the men then. There needs to be men in the church who are teaching and that's all. But no, we read in Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. It says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What is the Bible telling us here? The Bible is telling us that there's the opportunity for ladies to be involved in teaching younger ladies, to be involved in teaching other ladies to be doing the work of what they need to do in their homes. What is that? That's spreading the word. That's delegation. That's allowing the people to be involved in teaching the word of God. One more verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, just a couple pages back there. And realize that we need as people to be prepared for these positions. We already talked about the qualifications that God gave for those that would help Moses, or that Jethro recommended for those that would help Moses. And Jethro said, again, if God is in this thing. But we need to prepare ourselves to be used of the Lord. It says in 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? To be prepared to every good work. We need people who are prepared, people who are ready to take on the responsibility, so that when those responsibilities are available to be shouldered by somebody else, so that the work can grow and carry on, there's people who are ready to step up and take those places. God gives qualifications for some positions in the church, but every believer needs to be prepared to take on a little bit more. Be prepared to be used of God, having our life in order. Have you ever heard the statement, well, I don't think I should have to do that, that's the pastor's job. Well, that may be that the pastor is willing to do that, but if the pastor is doing that, will the pastor then not be able to delegate time to something else that maybe he could be doing that somebody else isn't there to do? And so we realize that if we would be willing to step up, then more can be done. Some people have the mistaken idea that, well, for somebody that's involved in ministry and in thinking, well, that's somebody that's a paid position. You realize that most ministry is not paid positions, as in dollars and cents paid. We all as Christians have a responsibility to minister to other people. They're not paid in dollars and cents. Those things are paid in eternal rewards. We need to be willing and ready to take on those things that we can do. And I'm so thankful for those who do work in ministries in the church and say, I'll do that. I will do that. I will help out with that. If I can be of a help, I'm willing to do that. Because you know what that does? That spreads the work around. It spreads it around so that more can be done. Because if it's just up to one, then there's a great limit as to what can be done. If the more that get involved, the more that can be done. It's such a blessing when people are willing to say, hey, count me in, I'll do that. When I see somebody's name on the sign-up sheet for cleaning the church, I think, praise the Lord, there's somebody that's willing to do that, because that allows somebody else who maybe otherwise it would fall to, that allows them to take a break or be willing to do something else, so that they don't, as Jethro warned Moses, burn out. It spreads the weight around. And so many other things, teaching Sunday school and being involved, ushering and song leading, and being involved in music ministry, and being involved in all these different aspects of service to the Lord, you know, spreads things around so that more can be done. But we must be ready. We must be willing, but we also must be prepared to step up. You know, I believe that much more could still be done, even through our assembly here at Beacon Baptist Church. But we all got to say, I'll step up. I'll do some more. I mentioned to some of you on Wednesday night, and I know that some others may have heard that, I mentioned it yesterday on visitation as well, but we have been praying, Lord, what should we do about the bus? The bus is falling apart. The bus isn't getting the use that it could have. What should we do? Maybe it's just time that we don't have a bus, and it's such a blessing to have for visitation, but so much more can be used can be done with a bus than that. Oh, it's moved people. It's brought people to church. It's taken people to activities. It's done all kinds of things. But, you know, maybe it's just time that we don't have a bus anymore. I've been praying, God, what should we do? You know, on Monday, my cell phone rang. And Brother Stone from Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas said, hey, do you guys need a bus? I'm thinking, what do we need a bus? I've just been praying. What do we do about a bus? Lord, what do we do? Right now, I'm the only person who has a license to drive it that I'm aware of. Lord, what should we do? Then I get a phone call. We'd really like you to have this bus. You know, it said to me that said, God has a plan for us to have a bus and a bus ministry. But you know what we need? We need people to say, I'll work the bus. Because working the bus is hard work. And it needs more effort than probably it's ever had in it before. I was glad that somebody came to me on Wednesday and said they were interested in, actually two people said, I'll look at getting my license. You know, that's a blessing. What does that do? That says there's work to be done and we spread it out and there's more people to be involved so that more can be done. Of course, the plan was implemented back in our text there. We won't take the time to read it, but if you look back in amongst it there, it says that Moses did what his father-in-law said, and his father-in-law, satisfied to see that things were headed in the right direction, left to go home. The work was spread out. Moses' responsibilities were still great. He's still the leader of Israel, but he had others shouldering that with him, and he had understood the need to teach the people and to take their request to the Lord and so on. See, what Jethro recommended was good for Moses and it was good for Israel. And when people of the church are involved in the work of the church and involved as a team in the church, there's much that can be accomplished and more that can be done. And so tonight, as we think about the question that we began with, are you ready to help out? Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Are we doing all we can? Or could we do more if all of us said we'll do a part? We'll have a part in this situation. Moses needed to see the problem and see the solution. The men of Israel needed to see their responsibility to help. The resolution resulted in what was best for Moses and what was best for Israel. In Moses' day, there were people who were ready to step up. The question is, are you ready to help out?